The following was at Black Rock Meeting, the first Sunday in May 1968.
Approach my soul to the mercy seat where Jesus answers prayer. I humbly fall before his feet, for none can perish there. Certain, my brethren and friends, that I should be able to talk very much this afternoon. I thought to sing this morning, my throat began to feel better, but now it's feeling worse than it did this morning, so I don't know. But I'm sure that you realize with me that the whole matter is in the hands of the Lord. Everything that is written in the scriptures, left upon record for us, has its meaning. I thought a moment ago that there's nothing in here but what was by the inspiration of God. As we're told that holy men of old wrote as they were moved of the Holy Spirit. That all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and so forth, for instruction in righteousness. So that we though we may come across and read often some portions that probably does not seem to have any meaning, at least we cannot see any real meaning in it. And yet there is, if we're given grace to read, hear, and understand. So that as we read in, sometimes in the language of Jesus, sometimes in the Revelation, we read, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. As we were eating lunch today, one mentioned a scripture which I have looked up and found in the 5th chapter of Mark, and it is also contained in one or two other of the books called the Gospel. I'd like to read a few verses of that until I come to the part was mentioned. I shall read the first because I think it takes the first lead up to, or the context of what we have in mind. So I shall begin at the first verse. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou tormentest me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. Forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. They that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. They came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. They began to pray to him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come unto the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hast had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. I read through the 20th verse, 5th chapter of Mark. Now may we look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Once more, gracious Father, thou hast blessed us to meet together here, and blessed us to come before thy great and holy throne, which we would come in the name of our blessed Redeemer. For we realize full well, dear Lord, that he is the only mediator that we have between thee and us. For our sins have separated us from thee, But thou hast been so gracious and merciful that thou hast given us a daysman, the one that goes between, one who can speak with thee and one who has condescended to speak with us. So we have the one mediator between thee and our God. So, Heavenly Father, we would come in his name, praying unto thee that thou would hear us in him, that thou would have mercy upon us. While we pray, Lord, that thy will be done. We know not how to pray nor what to pray for, except as thou art pleased to indite the matter in our hearts. But when thou dost give us the felt necessity, that there's nothing else, there's nowhere else to go, there's nothing else can answer, thou dost give us that spirit of prayer. And we're certain if thou dost give us a spirit of prayer, that thou would hear our prayer. Yea, as thou hast said in days of old, that certain things that thou wouldst do for thy people, for which things they should inquire of thee. So, Lord, we pray thee to hear our cry. We come as those who have nowhere else to go. We come as needy creatures. We come as those who realize that we're not able nor worthy of ourselves to come before thy great and holy name, or before thy great throne, but only in the meek and lowly Jesus, who arose triumphant over death and over hell and over the grave, and who fulfilled the work that thou didst send him here into this world to accomplish. And because he had accomplished it fully, thou hast received him back into thyself, where he is now at thy right hand, expecting till thou dost make all his enemies, the enemies of his church, his people, put them all under his feet, make them thy footstool. Well, Lord, thou knowest what each one of us need. We're needy creatures. Our ways have been tried before us, O Lord, and we've failed. We know not which way to go. We know not what to do. We realize so often we cannot even think a good thought. And so, Lord, we realize that we're in thy hands. And we know that thou doest all things right. So, Father, give us that spirit of prayer that we may pray and desire from the very depths of our souls that thy will be done. And at the same time, O Lord, to pray for grace that we might be made perfectly satisfied with whatever thou art pleased to give or to send unto us. If it is, Lord, that we shall suffer either physical or mental pain or discomfort, or to become poor in the world's good, or to become exalted by the outpouring of thy Spirit, or any other way, Lord, that thou art pleased to deal with us, wilt thou give us grace that we might walk softly, that we might be perfectly satisfied, that we might stand still before thee, and to realize that thou art doing thy will, and thy will is always right. O Lord, we've tried to go somewhere else. We've tried to trust in our own name, in our own works, and these have all failed us. We feel to be as thy servant of all when many who were trusting in the loaves and the fishes, as it were, and when troubles came and there was much opposition to the teaching of Jesus, and many turned away and followed him no more. Then those who had been quickened to thy Spirit and been born to thy Spirit, and who had been brought to the knowledge of the truth as it is in Jesus, and our blessed Savior turned to them and said, wilt thou go away also? And they answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And surely, Lord, thou hast taught us this same truth, that thou hast the words of eternal life. And sometimes we, in our weakness in our flesh, have tried to turn back to the way that we were once in, and thou didst then, O Lord, send upon us that we should be turned around about and learn that salvation is only of the Lord,
And it is not in our hands to direct our footsteps. We feel to realize, Lord, that thou hast spoken in our hearts, that thou who hast commanded the light to shine out of the darkness that was in our hearts, for the reason, for the purpose of giving us the knowledge of thy glory, O Lord our God, in the face or in the person of thy beloved Son. So it is in the experiencing the manifestation of thy grace unto us and revealing to us Jesus as the only name under heaven given among men whereby that we must be saved. In seeing his grace and his mercy and the love manifested towards poor sinners such as we are, it is in him we see thy greatness, thy power, thy mercy, thy glory. In him we see our God. Lord, look thou upon each one of thee now bowed here this afternoon in thy presence. We realize our need of thee. We realize creature distance between thee and our God. But we pray thee to condescend, O Lord, once more unto poor, needy creatures. And to deal with us, O Lord, according to thy will. And in our faltering way, Lord, deal not with us in how we pray, because we've long since learned we know not how to pray. But deal with us, Lord, in mercy, and have pity, compassion upon us. Lead us gently, O Lord, through the further journey of life, choosing our changes for us, and giving us to lean upon thine everlasting arm, and no more, no longer, to try to trust both in the arm of the flesh and at the same time confessing that salvation is by grace. But, O Lord, wilt thou take away from us all that is human, all that is weak in the flesh, and give us to trust alone in thy grace and thy mercy, because indeed in thee only is all of our help. But be with us all as we live, Lord. Provide for us the daily necessities of life. And above all, make us to realize from whence they come, that we may give thee thanks. Be with us everywhere as we live. When we come to the end of our mortality, wilt thou, Lord, manifest thy presence. And if thou art pleased to manifest thy presence, then all shall be well. We shall not be afraid. So may thy name, Lord, have all the praise, the honor, and the glory, both now and forever, we beg for Jesus' sake. Amen. As I made in the preliminary remarks, there's nothing in the scriptures but what it has its meaning. Jesus often taught in parables, and they had their deep meaning. I'm not sure that a parable has more than one meaning. So we should be very careful how we make an application of any scripture as far as that's concerned. We should be very careful that we are acquainted with the context, with the situation, the conditions under which they were spoken, and the persons to whom they were spoken, because that means so very much. In fact, we can get off of the track a great distance if we attempt to apply them otherwise than the Savior or any of the other writers applied them. And so it's said here that they came over unto the other side of the sea in the country of the Gadarenes. So you've often heard this called the wild Gadarene. It isn't scripture that he's called wild, but the text of the scripture leads us to believe that he was a wild man. That is, he was not of the mentality that his fellow countrymen had, who lived in cities and who lived among their fellow men. But this man dwelt in the tombs. He was a demoniac, we might call him. And when Jesus came out of the ship, when he came into the country of the Gadarenes, it said immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him. not with chains. Though they had attempted to bind him, every time we were made to believe that every time they did bind him with fetters and chains, he plucked the chains asunder by himself and the fetters broken in pieces, no man could tame him. If we are given to see and understand some of the spiritual meanings in this, and especially if we have experimentally been brought to see ourselves standing, as it were, in this poor man's place and condition, to see ourselves as, so far as spiritual things are concerned, standing so far off, standing so far away from knowing and understanding spiritual things, that in comparison with those who do know spiritual things, we would be called a wild man. But if we have been experienced, the Lord has led us that way and made us to see ourselves as standing poor and helpless, standing afar off, trying to find some way to help, but everything that tries to help us fails, and even all of our friends. You know, we have a lot of friends that in our adversities, in our trials and troubles, they're very quick to give us advice. Their intentions are good, I'm sure. And we're apt to pay attention to them sometimes. But you know, good intentions are not sufficient. Job had many friends. He had several friends. And in Job's terrible condition and his adversities, these friends told him what he ought to do. But Job knew that their advice, while it was sincere, their advice did not meet his case. Job is a very peculiar, the book of Job, the account of the life of Job is a very peculiar book. It shows that Job was, while it is said he was a righteous man, a man that eschewed evil, a man that loved God, a righteous man. And yet we have often wondered why it was that God sent, because it couldn't be any other way than that God sent to these things unto Job and in his life, that Job might learn, and in learning, leave upon record for us in these last days, in every age of the world, since that time, really, the things that he went through with, and the end of the matter, the way that God dealt graciously with him, and he had more, double, was it, or seven times more, in the end that he ever had before. But I started to say that we have many friends who give us advice and they feel like they're doing well, and we, where the advice is sincere, especially in natural things, and we would be glad to listen. And as far as we are able to see or feel that your advice would be good, to follow it to some distance or some length at least. But you know, when people begun to talk about spiritual things, many people are ready to give us advice. But most of them, when we're down in the dumps, so to speak, when we're already at our wit's end, when we're already brought to feel that we don't have a friend in the world, when we've already come and have finished and done everything that we knew what to do, and we've been made a failure, and then some religious friend, we might say, comes and advises you, well, all you've got to do is to pray, all you've got to do is to believe, have faith, and you've already been brought to the end of that. You know you can't even pray. You've tried, you've failed. You know you can't have faith yourself. You've tried that and you've failed, and you just couldn't believe, you just couldn't have faith. All you've got to do then, they say, is to join a church, and these things will come to you later. And somehow you know that isn't true. You just know it isn't true. So they give you advice, but they always tell you to begin to work, begin to do something, begin to seek after God. When you've been seeking all the while, and you haven't found Him. If you had found Him, you wouldn't be in the condition that you were in then. But he that knows, because the Spirit of our God comes, Lord, the Lord our God sends His own Spirit, which isn't really God Himself. He sends His own Spirit into the hearts of His people. And that's the only thing, really, the only thing that it will ever do, or can ever do if we're sin-sick, hell-deserving, person who realizes that's his condition. That's the only thing that'll ever do him any good. But just let that Spirit speak. Just let the Spirit of God enter into his heart. It somehow, it just quietens him down. Jesus revealed to him as his Savior. And the burden, the things that he'd been trying to do in order to bring himself into favor with God, and he'd failed in that. All those things are gone now. And behold, Jesus is my all and in all. I'm sure that some of you, I hope all of you know something about that. But here was a man now that others had been trying to bind him. I wonder if they wasn't trying to give him some advice, tell him what to do in order to bring his mind, his good mind back. I just wonder. I'm imagining maybe some things now. But these have spiritual meanings. He said because he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Well, if this is true, my thought on it, if it's true, all the advice and all the binding or trying to heal up that feeling that he had only made him worse. Yes, it didn't heal at all. He was still a wild man, a demoniac. He still was dwelling in the tombs because he hadn't yet met Jesus. Or really, Jesus hasn't yet met him. But Jesus came to where the man was. You notice I read that he said, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when when Jesus was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. What happened? Why, the very thing that happened first was when this man saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Yes, sir, Jesus had made his appearance. I don't know how we could say that the man knew him, but even the devils know Christ. They said, one time art thou come? When Jesus was commanding them to come out of a man, the unclean spirits to come out of a man, they said unto him, art thou come to torment us before our time? Yes, the devils know him. We're also told that the devils believe and tremble in the very presence of Jesus because the power of Christ is such that even the devil cannot get around or circumvent or do away with the power that is in our blessed Savior. And these devils in him cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Yes, for he had said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And don't you know, while we're told by friends, I'm sure, that Jesus, or the Spirit of God, is speaking unto all of us, that he was trying to persuade. He said he's begging, and he's wooing, and he's beseeching all of us to come and believe, and come over and join in with his people. But here, this man, he said, for he had said, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Yes, and the unclean spirit came out of the man. Only at the command of Jesus. And that's the only way. That's the only way that a child of God or an heir of Christ in the air of heaven. That's the only way that these terrible things that are in our flesh are made to depart from us, and Jesus takes up his abode. He commands the unclean spirit to come out, and that's our sins and our iniquities. And that is the portraying, my brethren and friends, our standing as we are in our nature before our God, as poor sinners, dead in trespasses and in sins. And we don't know that. As a matter of fact, I believe that this man here did not really realize that he was among the tombs. He was in his own element, among the tombs. A wild man, yes, but he didn't know what was on the other side of the river or in the next township. He was a wild man. He was perfectly at home in the tombs. Yes, he was all right there. But when Jesus commanded the unclean spirit to come out of him, he wasn't any longer at home. But there's something else. I don't know whether I understand some of this or not, of course. But we read here that these who call themselves the Legion, for there were many, it is the unclean spirits, they besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. The unclean spirits were just as perfectly satisfied to be there among the tombs as anybody in the world could be. I said they were at home. Now it said there were lying under the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. You know, the swine was a very, was considered a very unclean animal. The Jews didn't eat them, they were unclean. But if I'm not mistaken, they were allowed to raise them. But these were down in the country of the Gadarenes. They were allowed to raise them, I believe, and probably to sell them to outsiders, but not to use them themselves. But these were down in the country of the Gadarenes. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. Well, they were brought out to the wild man, the demoniac, the man that was dwelling in the tombs. They didn't want to go out of their country. They would rather by far go into the swine, the unclean beast, stay where they were. They didn't want any change in themselves. And then forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. They went just as Jesus bade them to go, just where they asked to go. But what was the end? And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 of them, it says, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. They went out to see what it was that was done. And they came, and they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. They saw this very man that they knew that was the wild man, whom they no doubt had tried to help many times, according to what we read, if he'd been bound, but they couldn't bind him. But now this very same man was, as they saw him, he said here, and they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, now sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. I don't blame them for being afraid. There was something wonderful had gone on. Here was a man they couldn't tame, but now he was sitting there with Jesus clothed and in his right mind. Yes, sitting clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. You know, brethren and friends, I think that's the whole point of the parable here. Is what Jesus did for this man who had the legion of devils, that he commanded them to come out. And then, and not until then, would this man clothed and in his right mind. It also leads us to understand that, as I was asked a few days ago, or some time ago, if the old school Baptists believed that the Lord had a people, in other organizations, because you know there are a lot of false things told about the old Baptist. I suppose maybe they feel like they've heard rumors, they've heard many things, and false things always have a way of being repeated, you know, and they grow like a snowball rolling over, they grow. But many people have even said that we do not believe that the Lord has a people anywhere except in the Old Baptist or among the Old Baptists. Well, we don't believe anything like that. I never heard anybody